I welcome everyone to Radha Gopinath Temple Sunday Festival. Thank you very much for coming. Our Sunday Festival has been going on same time, same place, except when they changed the floor. Since devotees first moved into this building about 20 years back. At the beginning, the Sunday program was sometimes 10, 12 people. Steadily, gradually expanded. The concept of a Sunday feast program was established by Srila Prabhupada in 26 Second Avenue in 1966. Because Sunday is a holiday in the sense that generally people do not work. They are free of the pressures of their occupational duties. Also, in the West, Sunday is the day people go to the synagogue or the church. So devotees saw Srila Prabhupada's great eagerness to reach the hearts of the people of America at that time. He was having Bhagavad Gita classes twice a week in a little storefront, and he was very enthusiastic with this concept of a Sunday festival, which his disciples called a Sunday love feast, and he liked that very much. Of course, their conception of love and Srila Prabhupada's conceptions of love were on very, very different levels. For Srila Prabhupada, it really was a love feast, because Krishna loves to feast on devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Even if you offer Krishna a leaf, a flower, a fruit, water, if it is offered with devotion, Krishna will consider that a great feast. And one of the greatest ways of expressing devotion to Krishna in this material world is to inspire other people's hearts with bhakti. In other words, to give Krishna to others. Krishna is most pleased by Nam Sankirtan. When devotees come together to hear about Krishna, to chant about Krishna, to glorify his names. When devotees come together in such a nice attitude for kirtan, that is a great feast for Krishna. And because we are pleasing Krishna, the root of the tree, it is a great feast for all of our hearts, a love feast. And then after that is prasad. Everything in bhakti is reciprocation. Krishna feasts on the devotion of the devotees who make the effort to come, to participate. He feasts on Harikatha when devotees are enthusiastic to speak about him. And the devotees feast in the reciprocation of hearing about Krishna. And Nam Sankirtan is simply a reciprocation of love. Krishna is pleased and the devotees' hearts are pleased. Then we offer food to Krishna in devotion. And he transforms it into his own spiritual energy, Mahaprasad. And after he feasts on our devotion, we feast on his mercy. And for Srila Prabhupada, it was a great feast for his heart. Feast of love to see so many people receiving the mercy of Krishna. At Sri Radha Gopinath Temple, Sunday feast has also been emphasized to be a time when all the brahmacharis and all the congregation can come together as a spiritual family. Because ordinarily, through the week, we all have our places of living, our own residences, our own little group of friends. And later on, we started counselor system. So little groups of people who were counselors, counselees of the same counselor. Sometimes they were bigger. But Sunday was the time when all counselors, all counselees, all guests, all friends, everyone can come together as a family. Srila Prabhupada's family. He is our father. He is leading us to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. In the temple, he is sitting on his Vyasasan. Whatever's happening here, we're trying to do under his direction, under his inspiration, under his divine grace. His greatest pleasure is to sit and see all the devotees enthusiastically absorbing themselves from the hearts in chanting Radha Gopinath's names, worshipping Radha Gopinath, hearing about Radha Gopinath together. Spiritual world means a family relationship. You will find no descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan about reclusive sages who are living in caves. Maybe in Tapaloka, that may be. But in Goloka, or even Vaikuntha, everyone is united. Everyone is a family. Family of unlimited, countless spirit souls in their original spiritual bodies. And for all eternity, all those souls in Goloka are serving Krishna, playing with Krishna, inspiring one another to please Krishna, and enjoying great bliss performing Nam Sankirtan. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. Descending from Goloka, the love of the Lord has manifested in this world as the Nam Sankirtan movement. Today we are singing a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur from his Kalyana Kalpataru entitled The Names of Lord Chaitanya. And so many of these names are based on relationships. His relationships with his devotees, his relationship with the holy Dham. And we chant these holy names, especially to invoke the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is my humble request. I know sometimes it's crowded. Some of the older devotees say the Sunday feast was so nice when there was only a few of us. It was very intimate. But this is a different type of conception. Actually, it's more intimate now because there's more people to be intimate with. Actually, whether there's a million people here or six people here, our purpose is our hearts become one in devotion to Krishna. Our hearts become one in chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Rama Rama!
And it is not what Prabhupada would want, that we're thinking it was so nice in the old days when there was just a few of us and there was so much room to dance. We should be thinking that how Prabhupada is pleased that there is more and more and more, and let me be a part of that. Another nice thing is the more people, the more we can feel ourselves insignificant. In the old days, I was very prominent. I was the only one of six people. Now I'm one out of thousands. Nobody even knows I'm here. But Prabhupada knows you're here. And Radha Gopinath knows you're here. And they're pleased to see that you're pleased that so many people are coming with enthusiasm to get the shelter of their lotus feet. And the beauty is when, in hearing Harikatha and participating in Nam Sankirtan, all our hearts, when they are absorbed in this spirit of service and devotion, we become one. Not the Mayavadi conception of one. It's not that I am you and you are me. It's that our purpose is one. It's that all our egoistic differences are gone. Because there's a prevalent priority. What will make Krishna happy? We're all coming together to water the root of the tree, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Sunday program is very important. If less priority is given to this wonderful Sunday festival, we will see that it is very possible that the very fiber of the direction that we have strived for so many years may begin to disintegrate. Because no matter how many people, we are all one when we come together as a family in the service of Krishna. And when we hear and chant with that spirit, tremendous power comes from the spiritual world into our lives. And actually, that's how everything is happening here. It is not you. It is not me. It is our coming together that has attracted a power behind all of us to maintain our own spiritual lives and to attract so many others to the path of pure bhakti. That is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. So please come. And this type of crowded is actually an opulence. I have seen sometimes wealthy people have huge houses and just a few people living in it. Huge, huge houses. That may be nice, but there's not as much satisfaction as just sitting in a huge house as there is crowded and crushed amongst devotees who are eager to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. Do any of you agree with this observation?
No!
Sometimes I'm envious. I'm envious of all of you because I have to sit all alone on this seat while you're all so crushed together and making such good spiritual advancement. Ambarish Maharaj, he utilized all of his senses for Krishna's service. His eyes to see the deity, his feet to walk to the temple, his hands to clean the temple, his nose to smell the flowers and the incense of the temple, his tongue to taste the tulsi leaves and the prasad and the charanamrita of the temple. And do you remember what he used his sense of touch for? To touch the Vaishnavas at evil. And he was a king. Can you imagine how he would think this would be opulent, being crushed by Vaishnavas? In the presence of Radha Gopinath Srila Prabhupada, it is a beautiful experience. When Lord Chaitanya came to this world, he established the Nam Sankirtan movement, which Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas have explained, it will carry on for the next 10,000 years in this age of Kali. And the same experience of directly associating with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be tasted by participating in this mission. When we're talking about a mission, we're not talking simply about an organization that we join up and we have a life membership card. That is a way to draw people in to the real mission. But the real mission is the mission of the heart. The mission of learning how to find the greatest joy in life in coming together to chant the glories of the Lord, to hear the glories of the Lord, to remember the Lord, and to serve the Lord. Because through this process, love of God is very easily available. In this life, if we are simply sincere, if we're honest, determined, with no ulterior motives. These are qualities of sincerity. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally here, directly, approximately 500 years ago, he gave a special dispensation of love of God. We can achieve the same thing, but we have to work for it a little. But when Lord Chaitanya was here, people didn't even have to work for it. He just gave it, zoom, like that, to anybody. That was his power. He showed his power and now said, you want that? A little work has to be done. I'll tell a story with your permission. Tomorrow is the disappearance day of Srila Ravananda Rai. He was such a dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was an incarnation of the Gopi Vishaka from Sri Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. One of the two most confidential maidservants of Srimati Radharani in her loving devotional service to Sri Krishna. You cannot escape these messages. Ramananda Rai was governor of the Madras province under the ruling king, Prataparudra Maharaj. He had tremendous power, wealth, prestige, was very learned. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Lord Chaitanya when he was just beginning his South Indian tour, you should go to meet Ramananda Rai in a place on the banks of the Godavari River called Vidyanagar. He said, previously I met him, but I could not appreciate who he really was or what the substance of his self-realization was. But now after meeting you and understanding the glories of pure devotional service, I can tell you there is no one like Ramananda Rai. Lord Chaitanya went to the bank of Godavari and he sat after taking his bath, actually. When he first came to the banks of Godavari, he saw the river as Yamuna and he saw the forests on the banks as Vrindavan. And actually, it was because Krishna is Bhavagrahi. If you see a river and you're remembering Yamuna, for Krishna, he sees you seeing Yamuna in your heart. If you're into a forest and you're remembering Vrindavan, then Krishna in your heart is seeing you seeing Vrindavan. Because he's not so much concerned simply what your eyeballs are in contact with. He's concerned with your emotion, with your devotion, with your feeling, with your conceptions. Lord Chaitanya was doing this all the time. He would, in Jagannath Puri, he would see ocean and think it's Yamuna and jump in. He would see a sand dune and think, Govardhan, and run to it. And devotees consider the sea there to be non-different than Yamuna, because that's what Lord Chaitanya saw. And they consider that sand dune to this day to be non-different than Govardhan. So how we remember, that is all important. What happens in this world, we may not have much control over, but we do have some control over how we see it. And the purpose of life is not just, you know, to make things better in this world. The purpose of life is to remember Krishna at every moment. In every situation, we can remember Krishna at that moment. So Lord Chaitanya, after bathing in Godavari River, he sat very impatiently waiting for Ramananda Rai. How did he know Ramananda Rai would come? He was just a traveler by foot coming down from Puri. After many, many days, he already had visited Kurmakshetra, Singhachalam, because the Lord is all-knowing. He knows past, present, and future, and every living being's heart. And Ramananda Rai, a governor in those days, had a protocol that he had to follow. He was being carried on a royal palanquin. And there were Brahmins chanting mantras and musicians singing. This was just for him to take a bath. Yes? Now I see so many brahmacharis going to take their baths. Now you ladies, you don't know where the brahmacharis take their baths. It's just on the other side of the temple here. By Krishna's grace, we don't have x-ray vision. It's just on the other side of this wall. There's a little steel metal wall, and just behind there, there's all these bathrooms. And they all take their baths and their gumshas and kopins and everything like that. So that's the way usually people go to take baths. But a governor, in those days, not like that. Brahmins chanting Vedic mantras, in procession, musicians playing auspicious instruments, and you're riding on a palanquin, dressed very nicely. And then taken down, and then you go in to take bath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to run and embrace him, but he was patient. After taking bath, Ramananda Rai happened to see Lord Chaitanya sitting in the forest on the riverbank, and his heart was running to meet him, and Lord Chaitanya was running to meet him, and they met. When they embraced, both of them were in so much spiritual happiness. Tears were pouring from their eyes. Their hairs were standing on end. Their limbs were trembling. They couldn't even speak any words. It was just Krishna, Krishna coming from faltering voices. They fell unconscious. They got up and embraced again in ecstatic love. And the smarta Brahmins were looking on thinking, what's happening? Because although Ramananda Rai was a great governor, by caste he was a Kayasta. And in Bengal, Orissa, in those times, Kayasta was considered a Shudra. Why is a sannyasi embracing a Shudra? And why is a great governor embracing a mendicant? What's going on here? And why are they crying? And why are their hairs going... Why are their limbs trembling? What's going? What's happening? They, you know, all they know is Om Vishnu. They were really bewildered. So one of the principles of a great Vaishnava is they do not display their ecstasies in the presence of people who cannot understand. So Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai really had to struggle to control their emotions and become sober. And then they had a discussion. Both were so much appreciative to be in the other's association. Srila Prabhupada explains what really happened there is Radharani, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radha. Radharani is meeting her best friend Vishakha for the first time in this incarnation, in this world. Can you imagine the happiness between them? They were sharing their love for Krishna together, and that's what happens. When two people share their love for Krishna together, there's love between them, ecstatic love. And this is the greatest possible love between two human beings. We may love each other because we're from the same nation or because we're from the same caste or from the same family. Or we may love each other for romantic reasons. Or we may love each other for reasons of feeling indebted due to the favors that we have shared. But the highest love is when two human beings share their love for Krishna together. When it's a matter of I love you and you love me, that's one thing. But when we love Krishna, then you and me love each other more than any other conceivable relationship in all creation. Because in loving Krishna together, the souls become like one. That is the beauty of bhakti. And we see all these relationships of the devotees, how beautiful they are in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because what is their lila when they come together? Just to love Krishna together, to share Krishna together. To make great sacrifices for the welfare of other, on behalf of Krishna. That is love. They spoke. Lord Chaitanya, he said that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent me because he knew that I needed your association. I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi. And he sent me to you just to become purified. Ramananda Rai said, I'm only a Shudra, nothing. I have no qualification. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sent you to me to deliver me and give me Krishna's love. In this way, they spoke for many days. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved Ramananda Rai so much, he couldn't bear separation. Before leaving Vidyanagar, he requested Ramananda Rai, please leave your government service and come and we will live together in Puri when I return. So Ramananda Rai, there was no question in his heart. He went to King Prataparudra. Later on, he explained what happened. He said, Lord Chaitanya wants me to resign and join him in Puri. Now, usually, such a first-class, dedicated, committed governor like this, almost impossible to find someone like that. Who can fill the post? Yes? If a temple president comes and says, I want to go to Vrindavan. No, you have to stay here. I'm sorry. But King Prataparudra, he just stood up. His hair stood on end. Tears flowed from his eyes. He embraced Ramananda Rai. He said, you are so fortunate. Lord Chaitanya won't even look at me. He won't even let me come near him. And he's asking you to live with him. You are so fortunate. I wish I could be so fortunate. Not only will I give you full blessings to go, but I'll give you your full salary. And all you have to do is take care of Lord Chaitanya. Ramananda Rai told Lord Chaitanya, I don't even have a trace of the love that King Prataparudra has for you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there is no one who is more dear than you, Ramananda Rai. And because King Prataparudra has given pleasure to you, Krishna will definitely bestow his full mercy upon him. And he quoted from the Adi Purana, Mad Bhakta Puja Pyadika. That one, Krishna says, that one who worships my devotee is most dear to me. More dear to me than one who worships me. Now, Lord Chaitanya returned from his South Indian tour. It was about 2 years. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. It was Ramananda Rai who could not bear separation. All the devotees were with him, but Ramananda Rai was, according to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, really like the mastermind to keep Lord Chaitanya in Puri. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also. They were old friends. Said, but Mahaprabhu was so obliged to his devotees that he would not leave without their blessings. He's the independent Lord. Simply by his desire, the entire creation is manifested. But yet, to show by his example, he would not leave for Vrindavan, which was his most cherished desire. After first taking initiation, he was running to Vrindavan. But the demigods reminded him, you have to go back to Navadvip to start the Sankirtan movement. After taking sannyas, he was running to Vrindavan. But at that point, Nityananda Prabhu brought him back to Shantipur to keep the devotees alive because they could not bear his separation. So at every junction of his life, he was running off to Vrindavan. And here he wanted to go, but he begged for the blessings of the Vaishnavas. They could not say no, and they could not say yes. They could not say no because he's the Lord and we're the servants. But they could not say yes because it was unbearable to their hearts. So they tricked him. Those are the exact words that Prabhupada uses in his translation. They tricked him out of love. Now every one of us is trying to trick Krishna in so many ways. But it's not out of love. That's just the problem. You try to trick Krishna with your own neophyte state and you're going to be tricked. Maya. Krishna will just say, oh yeah, you want to trick me? Okay, Maya, you go trick him. And teach him a good lesson. You should wait till after Ratha Yatra. No, first they said Dola Yatra. Dola Yatra is holy. And then Dola Yatra passed. Ratha Yatra is coming. You should wait till that. But it's the rainy season now. You can't go in the rainy season. Wait till after the rainy season. It's Kartik. Very auspicious. So many ceremonies. You should go after that. Months went by. Dola Yatra is coming. You already know that you shouldn't leave before Dola Yatra. In this way, 2 full years passed. They were tricking him, and he couldn't go to Vrindavan. So finally, Lord Chaitanya went to Ramananda Rai and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and said, "For 2 full years, you have been tricking me to stay here. But my heart is longing to go to Vrindavan. Please give me your blessings." And they understood that their tricks were not making the Lord happy. And ultimately, that's the only purpose of a devotee's life. So they said, but it's still the rainy season. But wait till Vijayadashami, and then you could go. The Lord waited. You think the Lord needs to wait till after the rainy season? He already proved in Navadvip. He was doing kirtan and big clouds came up in the sky. And all the devotees, because they were in a field. When the devotees were doing Nam Sankirtan with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were anywhere. Sometimes in marketplaces, sometimes in Srivas's house, sometimes in Chandrasekhar's house, sometimes in Lord Chaitanya's house, sometimes just out in the middle of a vacant field, chanting the holy names of the Lord. If you don't chant louder, we will turn off the AC. This is real love. Chanting with unconditional love. Yes? How do you all? Where was I? In the field. We were in the field. And these big black clouds came, and the devotees were wondering, this is going to be a massive downpour. Where are we going to go? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't want to disturb the chanting. So he just looked up at the clouds and went, and clouds disappeared instantly. They just, clear blue sky, within a second, you just, some people said he had caratals and he went like this. But either way, the clouds disappeared. So what, Mahaprabhu, he's the great lord of all the universe, Mahaprabhu. What is his concern about the rainy season? He wants to go to Vrindavan, he can just, all the way up there, he can just go, you know. There's no problem. But because the devotees wanted him to stay, he was obliged to the love of the devotees. And they said on the day of Vijayadashami, that is the day you should go to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so eager. On the very morning of Vijayadashami, first thing in the morning, he went to Sri Jagannath in his temple, received the blessings of Lord Jagannath, took a little packet of prasad with him, and left immediately for Vrindavan. Vijayadashami or Dasera is the day Mahaprabhu left for his journey to Vrindavan. But he didn't make it. For various reasons. As he was traveling, Ramananda Rai was with him. And so many of the Oriyan devotees were joining him. There were thousands of people joining Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and more and more and more were gathering. Who could give up his association? People were leaving their homes without even concern. They came to Cuttack, which was the capital where King Prataparudra was residing. There, Ramananda Rai, he went to the palace of the king and told him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now leaving for Vrindavan. King Prataparudra was in such a spirit of servitude. Now, please understand that within those 2 years, every year the devotees were coming from Bengal to celebrate Rath Yatra with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And during those 2 years where he was tricked, King Prataparudra was accepted by the Lord. The Lord embraced him. The Lord showered his opulence on him and his love. So King Prataparudra came to meet Lord Chaitanya there. He offered his life, his soul, his everything. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lifted up and embraced King Prataparudra, knowing who he was. The king had conquered the Lord's heart by his devotion. He was tested, as we will all be tested. But he passed all tests and remained faithful despite all obstacles in his service to the Lord. Maharaj Prataparudra then made a written order to every one of his government servants and leaders to facilitate Lord Chaitanya's journey. He put in writing and dispatched immediately that in every village en route to Vrindavan, there should be beautiful palatial houses for Lord Chaitanya to stay in with his devotees. And in every village, there should be at least 5 nice houses completely stocked up with grains and bhoga to make feasts for the Lord. And wherever there's a river, there should be royal boats waiting there to take the Lord and his devotees across the river. As far as the extent of my kingdom, every ounce of our energy will be dedicated to facilitating the Lord and his devotees. That was King Prataparudra's order. No restraint in how we serve the Supreme Lord. In fact, while Lord Chaitanya was traveling, King Prataparudra went to the temple of Jagannath to get fresh Mahaprasad. And he had courier messengers as fast as they could go, because they didn't have planes, they didn't have trains, they had foot. There's not even any mention of bicycles in the scriptures. There were ox carts, but they're slow. Maybe they were on horses. But somehow or other, it explains that wherever Lord Chaitanya was, every time, wherever he stopped, those messengers would come from Puri with a quantity of that day's fresh Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath. That was King Prataparuja's devotion. And finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the very end of the kingdom of Prataparudra, Orissa. There was a river to be crossed, and the government agent there, who was Prataparudra Rai's man, he warned Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this other kingdom on the other side of this river is a terrorist camp. You can't go now. He explained that there is a Yavana governor. That Yavana governor is a drunkard. Harsh liquor, drinking, intoxicated, arrogant, and violent. He kills cows. He brutalizes Brahmins. He hates Hindus. He hates everybody. Nobody will dare to cross this river. Out of fear, what to speak of what happens when you cross the river. But still, he had to go across and go through that Yavana governor's domain to reach Vrindavan. So Prataparudra's agent said to Lord Chaitanya, just stay here, be patient for a few days, and we'll see if somehow or other we could negotiate with that brutal, violent, cruel Yavana governor to make some arrangement to allow you to pass through safely. Meanwhile, the Yavana, you know, he wants to control. He was enemies with King Prataparudra. And he was enemies, especially with the governor of that province who Lord Chaitanya was meeting with. He had spies. And one of his Yavana spies came back to the Yavana governor. Is the story getting suspenseful? Thank you. He explained what's happening. This Yavana spy came to his master and said, do you want to hear what I saw? He said, yes, what did you see? What did you see? Tell me everything. He said, coming from Puri, there's this mendicant who's traveling by foot. There's hundreds and thousands of people following along with him. I've never seen anyone like him. He is inducing everyone to raise their arms and cry out the names of Krishna and Hari.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare!
Everywhere, everyone, in all directions, they're all crying out the names of Hari. This mendicant, he's very large in size. He has a beautiful golden complexion with large arms that extend below his knees. His beautiful lotus-like eyes are constantly brimming with tears of love as he's chanting holy names. and all these people. He controls their life just by his beauty and his mercy. People don't care anything. They're all giving up their homes, their occupations. They're giving up everything just to follow him. And all these people, what I'm seeing, you can never understand. You'll never understand this. Everybody is crying and weeping and rolling on the ground as they're chanting Krishna's name. The Yavana spy, he said, Master, I can't explain this. You'll never understand. You can only understand if you see it for yourself. Then the spy started weeping tears uncontrollably. His limbs started shaking. His hairs were standing on end, and he rolled on the ground right in front of his master, screaming out, The Yavana governor, he was deeply affected by this. He called for his secretary. He said, I want you to cross the river and arrange a meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and me. So the secretary of the Yavana crossed the river. Now, the governor of King Prataparudra's province was very much concerned. What is happening here? The secretary approached. As soon as he saw Lord Chaitanya, he fell to the ground, offered his obeisances, and started crying. And then he said to the governor that my Yavana governor wants to meet Lord Chaitanya, the sannyasi. He's willing to come here to meet him immediately. The governor said to the secretary of the Yavana, this is amazing. He wants to see the Lord. He said, he wants to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, certainly he is welcome to come, but he can bring no soldiers, he could bring no weapons, and he could only come with 4 or 5 personal assistants. The message was given. The Yavana governor crossed the river, dressed in the clothes of a Hindu, just so that it would relieve any suspicion that he had ulterior motives. He hated Hindus, but to see Lord Chaitanya, he was willing to wear the clothes of a Hindu. What was this all about? When King Prataparudra's governor just saw him coming, he was astounded. What's this Yavana, who was a cow killer, who was violent and cruel and hateful, just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya, he was completely transformed and purified. Just by hearing about him from one of his spies, that is the power of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the power of remembering the Lord. Even he didn't see him, even he didn't meet him, just by hearing about him, his heart was transformed. And similarly, in the Hare Krishna movement, Prabhupada says, just by giving people the remembrance of Lord Chaitanya, their ecstatic love can awaken. even a yavana. Srila Prabhupada gives all credit to Lord Chaitanya. He said when he went to the Western countries, they were all yavanas who were eating meat, intoxications, gambling, illicit sex, and so many other things. But just by hearing about Lord Chaitanya and receiving Lord Chaitanya's mercy through this process, their lives are transformed. They're chanting the names of the Lord with love. When that yavana governor saw Lord Chaitanya, immediately he fell in full prostrations at the feet of the Lord. And then tears poured from his eyes, his hair stood on end, his limbs trembled. He rolled on the ground and he loudly cried out the names of Krishna. Vaishnav governor fell at Lord Chaitanya's feet while this was going on and clasped his feet and said, "This is your mercy, my Lord. This is your mercy." His cruelty has turned into gentle compassion. His hate has turned into love. His arrogance has turned into humility. This is the transformation of the Lord's mercy upon even the most fallen soul. He surrendered his life. This arrogant fool who thought no one was better than him, he looked at Lord Chaitanya with folded hands and tears in his eyes and said, "I am most fallen, I am most ignorant, and due to my sins I have taken birth in a family of yavanas. If only I could have taken birth in a Hindu family, I could have been associating with you all these years. But because of my condemned condition, I cannot do so. Therefore, I have decided I will commit suicide. I will end my life." Lord Chaitanya told him, "No." Lord Chaitanya only gave him one message. He said, "All you do is you just chant the names of Krishna." The yavana ruler, he was, after chanting Krishna's names, he begged from his heart of hearts, "Please give me some service. Order me how I can serve you, my Lord. I accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Lord Chaitanya turned to Mukunda Dutt and indicated that he should give him service. Mukunda Dutt said, "What you should do is Lord Chaitanya needs to cross through your kingdom. Make all arrangements so that he could cross comfortably and safely. And then after you do that, then we'll give you another service." Now, I have told this whole story just to come to this point. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, describes this is the result of sincerely chanting the holy names of Krishna, is we have an enthusiasm to serve. And Srila Prabhupada says, this is the test of how we're chanting Hare Krishna. The enthusiasm in which we have to serve. If we're chanting offensively, that enthusiasm may not be nourished. But if we're chanting sincerely, then it must nourish that desire, that eagerness to serve. In fact, our acharyas even give a translation of the Maha Mantra. Actually, the Maha Mantra is just invoking the names of Radha and Krishna. But the spirit and the result are given in this translation. Because Srila Prabhupada often said, in Krishna consciousness, the ends are the means. What is our goal? To serve. What is the way to achieve the goal? To serve. What is the goal? To chant. What is the way to chant, to achieve pure chanting? To chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explained that actually the activities of the Hare Krishna movement are the activities of the spiritual world. Sometimes Prabhupada said, in one letter I was recently reading, there was a very empowered sannyasi who was Prabhupada's disciple. Previously, he was actually a great yogi. And he had many, many people who committed their lives to him. And he was very, very popular, very attractive person. He was the guru. He was teaching Kundalini yoga and other asanas and like that. And then he happened to be at a fair and he met this one lady devotee, Govinda Dasi. And he heard the chanting of Hare Krishna. He got some of Prabhupada's books. He read Prabhupada's books and realized, I'm a cheater. I'm not a real guru. I'm not in any parampara. And not only that, love of Krishna is the real goal of life. It's obvious. He was a guru in the impersonalistic school, and he was empowered, and he read many books and many shastras. But when he read Bhagavad Gita as it is, he understood, this is it. This is the ultimate. This is the supreme. And what did he do? He surrendered all his disciples to Prabhupada. He had a meeting with all of them and explained, and it was a serious meeting because they were giving their lives to him. He was saying, I'm not your guru. I am going to surrender my life to be a disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And I can't tell you what to do, but it is my strongest recommendation to all of you to become the disciples of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And all of them accepted it. In fact, even before that, he transformed his whole ashram practically into kirtan, nam sankirtan. That was their main thing, just doing kirtan. And he became Prabhupada's disciple. What was I saying? Before. The reason I came to this point. Huh? I'm not testing them, I actually forgot. service attitude, yes. It's easy to forget about the service attitude. So it was very wonderful. This devotee just gave his own life and all of his followers and all of his wealth and all of his property, everything. He just gave it to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was very, very pleased. Service attitude. We are not proprietors. We're servants. And when we chant the holy name, this is the spirit in which we chant. My dear Radharani, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service eternally. So Srila Prabhupada explains herein that this is the test of our sincerity. How we're developing this eagerness, this enthusiasm to serve. Prabhupada wrote a letter. Prabhupada wrote many, many letters. Ah, yes. Thank you. Now they're all followers of Prabhupada. But Srila Prabhupada was getting information that those who were the followers of this sannyasi, they were claiming that of all Prabhupada's followers, he's the only pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter in reply to this. He said, yes, this sannyasi, he's a very advanced devotee. I consider him a pure devotee. But he's not the only pure devotee. That is wrong. We must stop this thought. Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. Because they are all sincerely following the principles of devotional service. One who is, as Prabhupada in another place said, one who is aspiring honestly and sincerely through the right means for pure devotional service, that person is a pure devotee. On the highest level, a person who has absolutely no material desires and who loves Krishna unconditionally is a pure devotee. But one who is following the process carefully for that purpose is also considered a pure devotee. So Prabhupada did not like this type of sectarianism, that my leader is better than your leader. My leader is more advanced than your leader. My leader is more pure than your leader. Because he understood this sectarian spirit could divide our society and create animosity, unhealthy competition. He said, yes, this sannyasi is a very great devotee. He's a pure devotee, but never think he's the only one. They're all pure devotees. Harivo. That was Prabhupada's spirit. And he made this very emphatic in this letter. Because that is what, it is that spirit of respect that keep us together. Amanina manadena. The Yavana ruler, he made every possible arrangement to serve the Lord. He said, I'm going back to my, across the river, I'll make all adjustments. He went. The next day, he sent back a royal boat, beautiful boat, to bring Lord Chaitanya across the river. And Maharaj Prataparuja's agent, his governor, was on the boat with Lord Chaitanya. He was struck with wonder. What has happened? This man has completely changed. When they got to the other side, the Yavana governor was standing at the bank to receive with all honors Lord Chaitanya into his kingdom. He performed all sorts of auspicious rituals to welcome the Lord. Now they had to take, and then he provided a beautiful boat with a nice room inside just for Lord Chaitanya to sit. But they had to go a long way up the river to where Lord Chaitanya was planning to go. The Yavana said, "This is very dangerous. This particular river is plagued with pirates who plunder and kill anyone who comes through their area on this river. No one goes through that river. It's very dangerous." So the governor said to the Lord, "I will go with you to protect you, personally." The Yavana governor got on the boat with Lord Chaitanya, and he called for 10 other boats filled with military to escort Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through those dangerous land, dangerous waters. And when they reached the very end of his kingdom, he surrendered his life to the Lord, ready to render any and every possible service to the Lord and his devotees. That is the transformation power of the holy name of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And from there, Lord Chaitanya easily crossed into Panihati, where he met with Raghava Pandit and with all the Vaishnavas of Bengal. Gradually, they had the Nam Sankirtan. Stories like this give us a little glimpse into the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and give us some deeper appreciation of what our beloved Srila Prabhupada has given us. This is the basis of our spiritual progress. Our enthusiasm to serve, and our developing a taste to hear and chant the names and glories of the Lord. These two things. And the association of devotees who are of a good disposition, these qualities naturally flourish within our hearts. And it is for this reason that Srila Prabhupada has opened these temples all over the world to give people the opportunity to be in the association of devotees, to learn the philosophy and science of the goal of life, to learn how to purify their hearts through the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna, and to develop a humble, sincere, enthusiastic attitude to serve. Savai pungshang paro dharmo yato bhaktir dhokshaje ahoitaki aprati hata yagatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is loving service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Let this be our aim. We have many anartas. We have cultivated them for many, many births. They're not easy to get out. But if we keep our focus on the aim and remain united for that, the mercy of the Lord will make everything possible. We should never allow ulterior motives to come between us. It is a great offense to the Lord in our heart, and it is the greatest disruption to the Lord's mission of spreading love of God within this world. It takes a tremendous amount of sincerity, a tremendous amount of tolerance, tremendous amount of forgiveness, and a real desire for humility for devotees to continue to work together. But it's the supreme satisfaction for the heart and the soul to experience that. How is it possible? we must put aside our own agendas, our own egos. And we must learn to become one at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada as we serve together, serve one another, be instruments of compassion to the souls of this world. And that is all possible when we learn to find joy in chanting Hare Krishna together. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is any of the guests here? Okay. No one. Do you like to speak something, Govinda Prabhu? Govinda Prabhu said no one. Someone said no one. Would you like to speak something? No? Yes? Maybe? He wants to play Murdunga. So now we will... If you actually heard this class nicely, then you will be very enthusiastic to serve one another by chanting with great enthusiasm. With no motivation. But if you don't, we'll turn the AC off.